Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey everyone, it's Caroline from GThanks Just Bought It, reminding you that in between episodes, you can find me on Instagram at GThanks Just Bought It Pod. You can find products that don't make it onto the episodes and recommendations from listeners like you. So before you start this episode, give it a follow and say hi in the comments. And for a full list of every product we featured on GThanks, visit GThanksJustBoughtIt.com/episodes. See you there. Hey everyone, welcome to another week of GThanks Just Bought It, the podcast where we talk about what we just bought and what you might need to buy next. I'm your host, Caroline Moss, and today we are joined by Aminatou Sow and Anne Friedman, the authors of Big Friendship, which just came out this Tuesday. I read it in one sitting on Monday. I loved it, and you're going to love it too. Anne, Aminatou, thank you for coming to the show, and welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm so happy you're here.
We are really excited to be here.
We prepared.
I know. Anne, I heard that you brought 17 things to share.
Listen, this was an important reflective exercise for me where I was like, wow, I have a real opportunity to, like, what do I feel most evangelical about, like, in terms of my material possessions? And it really went a lot of places. Like, there are some journal pages dedicated to this. I plumbed the depths.
I'm so happy to hear it. I like when people are like, I couldn't just bring one, so I've crafted a spreadsheet. And it seems like you really took this assignment to heart. So first of all, guys, congratulations. The book is like, it's done and it's going to be in the world soon. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling exactly like you said. It's done and it's going to be in the world soon. You know this. You've written a book with someone else. It is really fun and it's also really hard.
Mm-hmm. And we're in this weird, I mean, at the point of this conversation, we're in this weird zone where we are, I wouldn't say over the material in the book, but like we're very comfortable with it and familiar with it. And at least for myself, like parts of the book that felt extremely emotionally risky or revelatory in the moment as we were writing it, I've now kind of gotten used to, or I've adjusted to the fact that they are going to be out in public. And yet it's not fully public yet. Like people haven't read it and responded to it yet. And so we're in this weird holding pattern as we have this conversation. And that's why it's so hard to answer that question.
Yeah, I imagine that it is. This is kind of what I remember from my experience is this is actually the scariest part. Cause like it's done, but no one has it yet. But it's like, it's also done. Like it's just, it like exists in the world, but like, no, you know what I mean? Like it is that intermediate purgatory and it's kind of tough to sit through.
Precisely.
Amina, how are you feeling besides that it's done?
I'm feeling all the same things that Anne is saying. It also, you know, it's, I am someone usually that a lot of my work is seen like very quickly after I do it. And so this is definitely a new-ish experience of like, okay, you put your head down for 2 years and you make a thing and then you share it with the world. That there is this like really interesting time, but you know, like in between when you publish something and you're the only one that's reacting to it. And you're, you know, like if you are as lucky as I am to have the collaborator of your dreams, that person is also really entrenched in the process. And then slowly more and more people get involved and it, it just takes on a different kind of meaning. So anytime someone else tells me that they've read the book, I can't believe it. You know, I'm just like, oh, like what? You've read it? That's weird. Like the only people that have read it are me and Anne. And so I'm having a lot of like, you know, like new author, like noob feelings, but it's hilarious. It's such a, it's also like world's smallest violin type problems. I'm really proud of the work that we did, and also just really aware that it is not the most important thing happening in the world. So feels great.
I'm excited for you about this. And I'm also excited that like, it's finally here, because I'm personally as a reader, like anticipating it greatly. Is there anything about this that you are, I'm hearing that, you know, you become desensitized a little bit to like what you wrote. Like you're so familiar with it. There's editing processes. Like you reread the stories, you rewrite the stories, you revisit the stories. Is there anything that you are like thinking of specifically about putting out in the world in this book that you are sort of steeling yourself for?
I mean, no, there's nothing in a, there's nothing that is so like shocking or wild that I'm stealing myself for. Unlike Tom Cotton, for example, I'm not calling for, you know, like people to be murdered in the streets. So no, but I do think that when you write a memoir, you know, I think that for me, that process is probably the same as doing our podcast, that there comes mm-hmm. a point where you realize that you are talking to more people that don't know you than people who do know you. And so I think that if anything, that is a revelation that I have over and over again, that my work is not just in conversation with people that I know. It's truly like they're mostly strangers encounter it now. And, you know, and I think that the thing that's good about having a collaborator in this sense is that there has always been someone to like gauge my emotional response the whole way. And so a lot of things that felt emotionally risky feel so much less risky by time of publication. And also it, you know, and then the other half is that it truly is a crapshoot. It's like people will receive it like they receive it. So who knows?
One of the best pieces of advice you gave me, Amina, when Hey Ladies came out, was just let the book breathe and let people read it and just wait. Are you ready to take your own advice?
Yeah, I'm definitely waiting. It's a pandemic. I'm waiting and I'm excited. What do you think, Anne?
I don't know. I mean, I really do think that, like, I think about my own relationships with other people's books, and I'm fully aware that, like, I make my own meaning and things stand out to me that might not be the most important sentence that that person wrote, but it's the thing that I really take with me from that book. And so I think I am just trying to prepare for the fact that once it is out in the world, it isn't ours anymore. You know, like we had this really incredible and difficult and challenging and wonderful process writing it. And like, that part is ending, and now the part where everyone's going to make their own meaning has begun. And I think the most charitable way I understand that is like, yeah, as a reader of other people's work. So I think it's a good thing. And I also just, I don't know, like much like other stuff happening in this pandemic, I'm just going to like say, I don't know, maybe I'll feel different every 5 minutes about that fact. Right now it's not real yet. It's still a hypothetical future. And so I really have no idea how I'm going to feel.
Anything that you guys needed to like work through while writing this book, or anything you learned about each other that really surprised you?
I mean, the book itself is a byproduct of having had to work through a lot of stuff. And so I want to say that the only way that we were able to write a book is because we have a relationship where we have had to really face our own challenges head on. If you want to find out what those challenges are, please buy Big Friendship at your preferred retailer. So it's that I don't think that there's any, I will speaking for myself, there's nothing, you know, like in writing this book, I did not have a deep new revelation about Anne that was shocking. It wasn't like, oh my God, like some people are like this and some people are like that. But I think a thing that was consistent throughout the process is that I was reminded why I like to work with this person, even on the hardest days. And I was like, yes, I chose very well. Because like 90% of collaborating is just choosing the right person. And also, I, you know, like my thing, a thing that I have always loved about Anne since before we were friends is that I love her brain and I love how she thinks. I love every single thing that she has ever written. And so it was just really exciting for me to get to be a part of that. And, you know, and she is, Anne is like very nerdy about words, something that I already knew and understood, and our process is very different. And a thing that I will proudly reveal to everyone on this show, and I hope on every single podcast that I go on, is that at least once, like at least once a day in a writing session, I would look at Anne and, you know, like I'm having the worst time of my life trying to finish like 300 words. And Anne is just like clickety clacking away on her side of the room and then grins and looks up and says, "I love words." And if that is not the most demented Capricorn thing you've ever like encountered in your life, it was so great. But yeah, so all of this rambling to say that I really love the person I get to work with every day.
Also, you're going to make people hate me. Like, I feel like that anecdote, like every tortured writer is going to like have a dartboard with my face on it after you said that. I just want to say too.
Of course they're going to have a dartboard with your face on it. You are like a champion athlete of this sport of writing. Like that, it just comes with the territory. But I'm just using the story to tell everyone that there is like such a joy in clocking in to work on something that is so hard with someone who actually deeply enjoys what they do. And that was the, I would have never written this book alone for like multiple reasons, but truly I could not have done any project of this undertaking without you, because your enthusiasm was super contagious. And also your work ethic is iconic.
I mean, spoken like someone with a truly iconic work ethic. Uh-oh, Caroline disappeared.
Caroline Moss has left the meeting. Doesn't want to be here.
She's like, goodbye. She's like,
Caroline Moss has left the meeting.
So sick of hearing us praise each other.
She was like, wow. The computer just closed the meeting. I don't even have hands on the computer right now. It just closed the meeting. It's like, you guys are like, you're so amazing. You're so good at work. Loving your ethic. And my computer's like, all right, bye. Well, I left for a moment because Tim Cook did not want me to hear such a amazing conversation.
My turn to talk about what I loved about this collabo. I will not let this moment pass without
sorry, rebuttal. Sorry, Veronica, who has to edit this mess of a podcast.
Anne, take the floor.
Okay, let me just tell you, I also am so in love with Amina's brain. But like, you know, one thing you realize if you, even with low level collaborations, often those that you don't choose for yourself, like say you just have to work with someone that someone else hired, or, you know, you have like a short term thing that you've got to get through as a freelancer with like an editor or someone who you don't like as much, is you learn very quickly that like not everyone has ideas. Like not everyone has like lots of great ideas. It is just a true fact that creative thinking and like truly challenging, like in-depth responses to things that might seem surface level, that is a rare and beautiful thing. And like, I really feel that like, that's something I benefit from every single week doing the podcast. But like working on this book and having to really kind of return to the same questions and problems over and over again and like have some of the same conversations over and over again really showed me like some new levels and depth and nuance to how like Amina thinks about the world and like what kind of like critical and creative thinker she is. And like truly, that is such a gift. Like, honestly, you know, a lot of writers who write solo, you know, will say that you do all the work of the writing, like kind of like running in the background. Like when you sit down to type, like you're writing things that you have been processing on your own for a long time. And this book is born of the process of us jointly, like both reflecting and then being in conversation and then putting on the page. And that experience is like, has really added so much depth to like what I think and feel and do about my own writing process. I learned so much. I'm just like, and also it was like, yeah, it was very, very hard, but like I feel just so proud of the product of that as well. Like I don't know. We could really spend our whole time with you on this show talking about all the ways it was powerful and important to work together.
I'm so excited. about reading this book, knowing, I think, so much about how you operate as friends and work together as collaborators, and like what that relationship can look like, and having it be a model for relationships that I have with people I work with and collaborate with. And I just can't be more excited. So Big Friendship, you can pre-order it now. I mean, but by the time you hear this, you can just order it now. And I'm fucking pumped for you guys. And congratulations on such a huge accomplishment. We're going to take a really quick break and we will be right back to see what Anne and Amina brought to G Thanks Just Bought It. Okay, we're back. So here's the thing. I know that you guys are like, Amina especially is an incredible gift giver. And I know that in your friendship, you guys buy each other things and give each other things. And it's like a love language of sorts. I want to hear more about shopping for each other and shopping for other people. Anne, how do you buy things for Amina?
Well, there's actually an anecdote in the book about how at one point in our friendship, a way that I realized things were not good between us was that I couldn't figure out what to buy Amina for her birthday. It was like a real sign that we were like not doing great, that I didn't have too many ideas for what to buy her. So you're totally right that like gifts are part of our love language. But I also think that, you know, recommendations or things that are not necessarily like a birthday gift, but I just sent you this little thing that I know you'll love. Like that level of gift giving is really ingrained into our friendship. So, oh my gosh. Okay. So I got very emotional making this list of things that Amina has brought into my life, material things. I mean, the list of immaterial things is like, we don't have time for it. Okay. Like, right. But the material things, like, let me tell you. Okay. Number one, like a really good metal like foot exfoliator. Like I think that you know, white lives are devoid of so many things if you do not have friendships with black people. Like, but like truly my exfoliation game, like I have like the black women in my life to thank for being well exfoliated. And like, you know, I think early in our friendship, Amina might have noticed like some crappy pumice stone or something in my bathtub and was just like, what are you like messing around with here? Like you want the metal one. And like, I just, so anyway, my soft and supple soles are fully like, you know, a result of this friendship. And you know, like a minor thing. And also just like, oh, right. Like something that has become fully integrated into my life and routine. Another thing is she bought me this incredible sleeping mask called the Sleep Master. It is like wraps fully around your head. It almost looks like you're putting on a virtual reality headset or something. Mm-hmm. And it helps. It blocks out noise as well as light. It's like it doesn't have any weird ties or anything on the back of your head, so you can lie down with it. It is something that like I always have on hand when I travel. And it is again, like not like a super expensive thing, but it's like a truly life-changing item that I have passed on the recommendation for to so many other people. And then one thing that was actually a gift is shortly after I moved to Los Angeles, you know, like there's a lot of little tiny things that signify, okay, like I'm an adult now who really lives in my space. And an early gift that Amina got me was a really nice, simple human trash can. Like she had been to my house and was like, what is this like black plastic rubber made thing? Like you're not, this is not a dorm room or like a frat house anymore. Time for you to have this trash can, which was like actually in that place I lived was in a kind of prominent place in my kitchen. Time for you to have this nice grown ass trash can. And like, I really, I still use the trash can to this day. I feel very moved by, I felt so moved by the like, the attention to detail and the way that this is like the most mundane of gifts, but also something that like made me feel more at home in my space.
I love that she got you a trash can.
True love. I have to tell you, like that kind of gift is true love. Like anyone can buy you like a candle or whatever. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. That's sort of like whatever, like, you know, throw it in the box on top of whatever is actually meaningful. But like something like a trash can is like you can only buy someone that if you know them well.
Yeah. I mean, that says that is that buying someone a garbage can literally is a gift that I think says so much. You're saying, I'm looking at your space. I'm not liking what I'm seeing. I would like to make it look better. I don't trust you that you will do this for yourself. So I'm just going to send you a simple human trash can. I mean, checks all the boxes of paying attention, showing up, just really supporting a lifestyle. And
it was a gift that said you're better than this.
You guys, I'm screaming.
A gift that says, I think more of you than you think of yourself. And I want you to know that.
What is friendship but thinking more of someone than they think of themselves? Like, truly and deeply. Yeah.
Oh.
And having that gift materialize in a garbage can is so wonderful. And I really, really
at the
really
time
love that.
At the time, one of the most luxurious trash cans you could buy for yourself.
It was the high end, the highest end. Yeah,
the one where you bring your trash over and it knows you're there and it opens.
Okay. No, we don't believe in that kind of surveillance sensor, but close enough.
That is wonderful. And is it the one that has its own bags?
Oh, yeah. I mean,
that has it comes with its own accoutrement.
On that level, it should be called complicated human, as we all are. But yes, it does require a very specific bag that that I now order in bulk to keep on hand. So, yeah.
That is such a wonder. I would never think to buy a friend a trash can. And now I'm going to take inventory of my entire social circle and think about who might need something like that in their lives. Amina, what about something that Anne has gotten you?
Oh my God. I'm howling about the trash can because I had not interpreted it that way. But a thing that I am constantly challenged by.
Wait, no, I'm cutting you off. How did you interpret buying her a trash can?
She was like, she's messy. She's gross and messy. I just need to fix this.
No! Anne, you had moved to this new city. Everyone knows that moving is so expensive and it's so many things. You lived in this really nice apartment. The trash can, as I remember it, was white and Rubbermaid. And it's right. I just think that, I know for myself that there are things that one needs that one cannot always afford, especially when you are living alone and taking care of yourself. And so I just like to bring wedding registry energy to all of my gifts to the women in my life.
You're so good at that too. And I'm remembering that the comforter on my bed is also something that you had in your house and gave to me. And I had just come over for something else entirely and you handed me a bag of stuff. But you also were the first person in my life to say to me, you're going to do a lot more. Getting married is not an accomplishment. I'll get you stuff when you do other things that are an accomplishment. I mean, you got me a wedding gift, but that has always been your ethos. And I respect that. And that comforter is on my bed right now. And I forgot about that. It came from you until 2 seconds ago.
Never doing a podcast with two people that know me very well ever again. I'm instituting that rule as of right now. I'm feeling so attacked and so seen.
Look, we appreciate you. Every time Anne throws something out, she thinks of you. Every time I go to bed, I think of you. I don't have this gift giving. I don't have that. My gift is not gift giving. Anne, how do you? Well, Amina, I'll go back to that. What has Anne given to you that has been meaningful or that? I mean, you can't top the trash can, but I'd like to see you try.
Oh, I'm going to top the trash can in so many ways. One, so Anne has given me countless gifts. When I sat down yesterday to try to do inventory, it was actually ridiculous because you truly cannot quantify the gifts of someone who is just constantly looking out for you. And so I will focus on some very specific things. My gift-giving ethos, as we have learned, is quite, some might say it's a production. The thing that I've learned from Anne that I will never will stay with me forever, and is also something that I actually really appreciate about your podcast too, Caroline, is the giving a very inexpensive gift that stays with someone for a really long time. And Anne has done that for me countless times. One, she's like the craftiest bitch you know. So she's always making you things, like, which is not fair because I cannot make anything. But there was a real period in our like very early DC life where we were broke all the time, but we love to read fashion magazines. And, you know, and I'm always like, ugh, I'm never going to be able to afford that Miu Miu collar. And Anne was like, we don't need to be able to afford it. I will craft it for you. And so she has like replicated so many fashion things that I needed. And the Miu Miu collar is still one that I own and love. And it is great. And also just like Anne's gift is really like surveying your life and being like, what is the thing that you are missing? And so for Christmas, for example, this year, Anne, you gave me these beautiful, like, homemade napkins that you made yourself in a fabric that I fucking love. I was like, I feel like I would have bought these from CB2, but thank God Anne Friedman made them because now they're free. And every time I eat at my house, I will remember that. But I just remember that as a thing where I was like, yeah, I was like, you were recently at my apartment that I moved into. You did a very quick survey of like, what does Amina need more of? And, you know, like in a stealthy way, like you did that. And I still had not had time to like replenish the napkins and I loved it. And a gift that Anne has given me that is probably like my recommendation for the show is this very simple Casio. I'm looking up the name right now because there are like a million Casios. It is the Casio Men's Digital Illuminator Sport Watch. anywhere between $15 and $18 on bad internet websites. Looking at you, Walmart.com. But this, like, first of all, like a thing that I would have never bought myself, a rubber, you know, like a watch with a rubber band, and also a thing that I desperately needed but would have never gotten. And so Anne uses one when we travel to tour for the podcast, and it's perfect for like, you know, it's like you always know what time it is and you can, you know, you can use the timer and the blah, 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 which are all things that we need also when we're on stage on tour. Mm-hmm. And she like has a white one and she gave me a blue one. And I love that she picked the correct color for me. If I bought it for myself, it would be blue, which is always so important to me when there's like a plethora of colors that you can get that people know the colors that I want, because I'm really choosy about that stuff. But mm-hmm. it turned out to be something that I use all of the time. And now I never leave my house for a trip without that watch. And every single time I wear it, I feel efficient and I feel powerful and I feel like I'm on top of my shit. And I'm always like, this gift given by my best friend, Anne Friedman, who knows me so well. And I don't know. And it's also made me think so much about how like a huge, like I am good at the like big gift. Like I know how to do that because I'm like, I love to shop and I like love, you know, like I'm like, I love that kind of consumerism. But there is just something about knowing how to buy an inexpensive thing that someone really needs and that they'll use all the time. I think that is actually so much more intimate and so much more powerful as a gift. And I think about that constantly now. And so now I give myself these challenges where I'm like, I'm only going to spend $10 on this person. What's the best thing for $10 I could get them? And that is such a more fun game for me. And yeah. Anne, thanks for making my life better with that watch. It's great.
Aw, I love that we have matching watches. Truly. Like, my perspective on that is I was like, I just want to match. Like, I wear mine all the time. Like, I like the idea that we can match. Like that is my, like, real, like, middle school
brain. But every good gift is the thing that you actually just want to match with someone. It's the same thing with the trash can. It is the same thing with, like, giving Caroline the duvet. It's this thing where you say, like, I like how this makes me feel in my life, and I hope that someone else will receive it that way, you know. And so for that alone, I get it, we do match. I love frog and toting with you on the watch, but also that watch has come in real handy.
I love the idea of surveying someone's life sort of just you know, inconspicuously, and taking note and that gift, because yes, of course it's not about how much a gift cost, but like the message of being like, hey, I noticed this, and now I'm gonna, like, you know, fill this need that I think that maybe you don't even know that you have, is like really, it's really nice. It makes me really happy. Amina, was that the thing you said you were bringing, the Casio? That was the thing that you recommend?
Yes, the Casio is what I recommend, but I also have another recommendation, because you know my sickness is that I have so many recommendations.
How many colors does it come in?
how many colors in the world? You know what I'm saying? There's so many colors.
It comes in a lot of colors.
Thank you, Anne.
Many colors. Minimum five, I would say. Like, yeah.
Okay.
Joseph's Technicolor Casio. It comes in every color.
And did you buy it on Walmart.com or where did you find it for Amina?
I think, good question. I am pretty sure I bought mine at Target, and I bought the one for Amina on the internet. It might have been like Shramajan. I'm not 100% sure, but I will say that like I got it so I could leave my phone at home, like, and just be out in the world and just have a tether on time. Like I was like, I don't want an Apple Watch. The point of this is to leave the internet behind, and then discovered its other uses, and then was like, okay, I know someone else who could use this. But I think I'm pretty sure mine is from Target, or was originally.
Amina, what's the other thing that you brought?
Okay. The other thing that I brought that I feel very evangelical about, that I think I give to almost anyone who has stayed at my house or I just like to give other people, is this washcloth called the Salux washcloth, S-A-L-U-X. It is a Japanese brand, very exfoliating washcloth. I think it's like impossible to buy just one of them. It definitely comes like in a 3-pack and maybe other packs. It comes in like multiple colors. As aforementioned, I like the blue ones, but if you want a pink washcloth, that's one for you. There are white ones. I think white washcloth is not a great idea because you see the dirt so much more, but whatever. Anyway.
Blue in all things.
Yeah, blue in all things. I'm very consistent. But anyway, this washcloth is amazing. And I love taking a shower. I love taking a bath. I talk about it with my therapist all the time. There are structural trauma reasons for that, but also it's a great way. The thing about this washcloth that's great is that no matter what kind of soap you use, whether it's like bar or liquid, like whatever you want, it like will make a like super luxurious lather. And you don't have to rub hard, because if you do, like, it'll probably hurt. But the washcloth does all of the work for you. Obviously, like, don't use it on your face. This is like a body washcloth. We are only using chemical exfoliation in our faces, people. But anyway, it's just one of these things that it doesn't cost a lot of money. It is such a game changer in the shower. And, you know, as discussed, white culture is a mystery to me. But, I think like we can't solve all of the problems of white culture, but like in the bath, at least we can hold some hands and help some people get the Salix washcloth and like wash your legs, wash the rest of your body. This thing is amazing.
Can I also just say you can kind of like unfold it and make like a butt cradle and pull it back and forth. And it's like amazing. Not to add my own voice to this chorus, but like, you know, really, really in those hard to reach places, this washcloth is coming through.
That chorus was so in need of that specific detail. I'm like thrilled. Is it big then? Like, is the Salix washcloth
so
like a towel?
Big. It is so big. It makes no sense how big it is. Sometimes I cut it in half. Because I was like, no one, you know, like who needs all of this washcloth? But
the answer is my butt. The answer is my butt.
It's true. I do a butt cradle. I do the back cradle for it because I like it so much. I will throw it in with my laundry to wash it appropriately. Obviously don't put it in the dryer. If you put it in the dryer, it'll do fine. But yeah, it's a great, like, super easy to use. It's so amazing on your elbows and knees, like all of those places that need a little, like harsh exfoliation every once in a while. But makes the skin feel great.
How much is it?
It's like, I want to say like $9 for like a multi-pack. And because it is like a Japanese product, it's available at like random retailers for random prices is what I was going to say. So,
okay.
Yeah, but it's like, I don't believe I've ever spent more than $10 buying like two or three of these.
It feels like one of those things that you can get at that store in New York. Remember like Basics Plus or like...
Yes, 100%. 100%. Yeah. Like you could definitely get them at like any like Japanese market. I've seen them at H Mart. But yeah, it's like if you are not, you know, as we are not really going shopping right now, IRL, online, you can find them pretty much anywhere. S-A-L-U-X, Salix, just buy it.
I have something to admit, and I want to know that this is a safe place to admit it, but I use a loofah. Like, should I be using a washcloth?
Yes, you should absolutely be using a washcloth.
Okay, bye.
This is coming from Dr. Fauci. I'm just telling you what the NIH is recommending for all Americans. Wear a mask, use a washcloth.
That is true. The CDC did recommend that I wash my face differently. And it was part of Cuomo's PowerPoint presentation.
I know, but honestly, like it's a thing that like we've made, we've joked about, honestly, but I do think that one of the things that is always like fascinating to me in the like intimate relationships that you have with people of other races is that people do this kind of stuff differently. Like we shower differently and we wash our hair differently and we whatever. And people should be curious about how other people are, just generally dealing with hygiene. And I think that it's very illuminating. Like I am someone who takes a lot of my hygiene references probably from a lot of Asian countries because African countries have very similar like aesthetics and products and whatever. And so in one way, it's just, I'm like, this is just the way I grew up. But there are other ways that, you know, you should probably be examining, why are some people using loofahs and why are some people using washcloths and what kind of repercussions does that have in our general like cleanliness and hygiene routines? But yeah, just generally be curious about what your friends of other races are like doing in the shower. I feel like is a bonus for all of us.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I've recently been, Samantha Irby actually turned me on to the bidet life.
Tushy!
She has the travel bidet. And we talked about this at length, but it's just very, very deeply weird that in America we have decided that bidets are gross because they get you too clean. And we would rather just use toilet paper. And so now I've been really trying to change up that area of my life. And I think that we have gotten it mostly wrong for a very, very long time.
Yeah. I'm a happy and proud bidet user who feels very smug in this pandemic moment in general. I think a true convert, a true, true and deep convert to the butt fountain life.
It is a lifestyle. And now I'm switching out my loofah. Amina, that is your influence, as always. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we're going to find out what Ann Friedman brought to G-Thanks Just Bought It.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Okay, we're back. Anne, narrow your list down. I know you brought a long one. What are you starting with?
Okay, I peeled back a lot of layers here. It's not an exfoliant, but I peeled back a lot of like metaphorical layers to get to this recommendation. And I think everyone, women identified people in particular, should own a tailor's tape, like a measuring tape, which is, if you're not familiar with it, like... it's just a flexible tape measure. Like it's usually kind of like a plasticky material. It is they're typically about 3 feet long. They cost about $5 from craft stores and like tons of places on the internet. And mm-hmm. I think everyone should own it for a couple of reasons. One is that like the most liberating experience in my specific body has been like knowing its contours, like rather than being like, I'm a size whatever, or I'm a large or a medium or whatever like the tag says, being able to kind of know specifically this is the size of my hips, this is the size of my waist, this is the size of my chest, this is my inseam, this is my torso length. And I just want to make the case that even if you are not making your own clothes, and in fact, especially if you are not making your own clothes, and especially if you are shopping online, having a sense of the dimensions of your own body beyond the size, beyond the realm of clothing labels, like, is really amazing, because then you can look at items and say, like, okay, like, what does a large really mean on this website? And like, is this pointless for me to try to buy it? And I think also too, owning the measuring tape means that you can remeasure yourself and you can evolve your sense of like the specifics of what the contours of your body are, as opposed to, I don't know, like being stuck in this idea that like, other people have about labels for what size various parts of your body are. And for me, it's really helped me decouple from the notion of like, oh, I don't fit into anything that these people are doing. You know, like clothes made by other people don't fit certain parts of my body is, it's helped me reframe that question to sort of say, okay, like here is specifically the needs and shape of my body and how can I find a specific item that fits them.
Not to make this about me, but I also just want to say that Anne is the only person in my life who buys me clothes and they always fit.
That is a huge endorsement.
I know. That it's wild. It's like she'll be at the thrift store and be like, I got you a dress or I got you a skirt. And I'm like, that's not going to fit me. I can't tell. And then she'll show me the picture and I'm always like, that will not fit. And let me tell you, every single time, like a glove.
Well, and let me, sorry. I want to let you get a word in, Caroline. I'm just so excited about this.
I was going to say, do you carry around Amina's measurements with you? Like, do you have it in the notes app?
No, but I will say this, that if you have a measuring tape, one thing you can also do is pull a few things out of your closet that fit you really, really well, particularly things that don't have a lot of stretch, and measure those things. Because then, you know, like if you lay flat an item that you're like, oh God, like these jeans are like they were made for my body. It's like the only pair I've ever found that perfectly fit my waist and my hip or whatever. You can lay them flat and just look at them, get a sense of, okay, like that's what this garment without stretch that fits my body really well looks like. And so then if you're out in the store and you're like, okay, the waistband is roughly the size, length of my forearm or whatever, it allows you to have this barometer for the size of your body that is again beyond sizes. And so I think like it's, I don't actually know the numeric measurements of Amina's body, but like I have spent time around like in rooms strewn with her clothing, for example. And like, and you know, like eyeballing like, okay, like this is roughly the size of this like dress that fits her really well. I see it on the floor right now, but I've also seen it on her body and it looks amazing. Helps me then roughly eyeball like a dress I see in the thrift store or whatever.
And so, I feel so seen.
I know. And I like, I think that I guess one reason why this item really made it out on top of all the things I wanted to recommend is because I think it really can reform, like at least for me, it has like reformed the way I see like how my body fits into like a wider world of clothing. And I will also say that online shopping, a lot of websites will not offer all of these measurements. They'll just be like, fits a standard size 8 or whatever that means. And it's like, okay, like thanks for that not at all helpful info. But you can do the little customer service chat and be like, hi, like what's the inseam on these pants that you claim are tall? Because like me, like emoji eyeball, they're definitely not long enough for me, but I'm going to ask you, you know, like you can find that measurement info and then you don't have to participate in the like, oh, I bought 25 things online and I'm going to use the resources to like send most of them back. You can just, you can also be like a more thoughtful consumer.
Wow, Caroline, and she's talking to you, buying 25 things to return.
I mean, I literally am sitting here being like, are you in my, like, do you see the Nordstrom box in my house?
The Nordstrom box in your heart?
No, in my house. A literal Nordstrom box in my house. Amina knows that anytime we, like, would go, and I lived in New York, we would go on, like, an errand. I always had something to return to the shipping place on 13th Street in Brooklyn. And it is true. I am an online shopper that just buys so much stuff. And then I try everything on when it gets here and I send it back. And I have never, so it's not true that I've never thought about taking my measurements, but it is true that I thought it might be too hard to do it. And so I just never did. And so I've chosen a strategy that now that I'm thinking is way harder and takes up way more time. So this is pretty much probably going to change my world. Also, in a mental way, like as a, you know, as a former disordered eater, as someone who put a lot of worth in a size and a shape, and, you know, I think like you said, decoupling from the idea that like I am a large, I am an extra large, like in this brand I'm a medium, and just knowing that like these are my inches and so my clothing needs to be these inches in order to fit on my body helps along with that message of like it's not about me not fitting into the clothes, it's about these specific, this specific pair of this does not fit my body, I can find another pair of this that will. My question to you is technical, which is, so when I was getting my wedding dress made, they did all the, I had it custom made. It's through this startup called Anomaly, which basically like lets you design your own dress and then they make it at like a 10th of the price or whatever. And one of the things that they make you do is they have you go to a tailor and they have you do all of your measurements, or you can do it at home. And before I went to the tailor, I tried to do it at home and I was like, I don't trust that I'm doing this correctly. Like, do you need another person to like measure you, or do you do it yourself?
It is helpful to have another person measuring you. I will say that. And that's why I recommend also like having the tape, because I think if you try to do this with like, you know, like some other, like you try to do this with a ruler or whatever, you know, right, it's not going to work. Like you really do need this very cheap, but specific tool. It is going to work best with a buddy. You can search online for guides. Like they'll show you with like a dotted line, like, how to measure. But for me, there are, and every body is different, right? Like you can think about what are the ways that I usually have trouble fitting into clothes. Like for me, it's like the length is too short, the inseam's too short, and the torso is too short. So like a measurement that I have had to know very intimately is like, how long is my inseam, which is sort of like from, you know, the inside hip crease, like right up at your crotch down to your ankle. And that's something that like, if you're alone, you can also like, let's say you are like, in pandemic mode, sheltering solo, and you order one of these like on the internet, you can measure clothes that fit you well to get a sense. So if you have a top that like, let's say you had like a dress with a really fitted bodice, you could, you know, maybe try to measure around that like laying flat, or you can measure like the inseam of your pants lying on the floor. The pants lying on the floor, not you lying on the floor. And, you know, and get a sense, but like really like buddy system, you and a friend, like agreeing to like measure each other, is how you're going to get a good set of these. And I also think that like, for me, I don't, some of them stay the same consistently, but like some of mine also fluctuate. Like I know that like there's kind of a range of what my hip measurements are. And so for a certain type of item, I'm going to want it to be a certain, I want a certain amount of allowance there. So like if I know my hip width is 41 inches, I won't buy anything that's like smaller than 43 if I want it to feel loose and comfortable. And they're just like, you, like the more you kind of integrate this, approach, I guess, to thinking about clothes, the more you can just sort of, at least for me, the more I can say like, ugh, like nothing fits this part of my body and it's sort of like gross and bad, and instead reconceptualize that to be like, okay, like I actually need to look for this specific thing that like does meet my needs, or like, I don't know. And I also think if all of us as consumers, like, you know, we all know that like women's clothing sizes are like the patriarchy. And so if we all together are like, we actually want clothes that are sized more like menswear, which are, you know, waistband is like inches in a lot of, or centimeters, depending on where you are. And if we sort of think about that, like, who knows, like maybe if we all had tape measures, we would have like a fundamentally different way to shop for clothing overall.
Yeah. And also, like, everyone knows that a thing that you've had tailored to your body fits you, so like it fits you like no other item of clothing has ever fit you before.
100%. You know how I like live for my Emily Meyer suits. I want to say also that this thing that you're saying, Anne, about having someone to measure you, I think is really powerful. And I also think is for me, like, as a thing that I think about as a cornerstone of our friendship, like finding ways to talk about your body that are not destructive. Because I, you know, like I've been like really lucky to have those conversations with a lot of people that I love, including the two of you, where we're able to just be like, okay, here's how I feel in my body today. And it's not always great, but I do think that there is something really, or I will speak for myself. There's been something like really powerful as someone who lives in a fat body to have a friend who is not fat that you can talk to about your body in ways that don't really replicate like gross dynamics, and that are you know, just like that are, I like, I find them like very healthy. And I also think that it's, you know, like knowing the size of your body is usually a thing that you you know, like women are intimidated by for a lot of patriarchy reasons, but in this case it can actually be super empowering.
And I have to say that, like, my reach recommendation, like, not actually, like, everyone listening to this, but, like, if you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, I already know all my measurements, I already think about all this stuff, I truly also believe that, like, it's a better world if everyone, every human being has, like, a cheap sewing machine and they can make alterations themselves, because I...
Whoa. That is a radical.
Because that is the next step. Like, the next step is being like, you know what? Well... Okay, I'm sorry. I like truly, you know, I backed into the measuring tape because I was going to recommend everyone get like a, like an affordable basic sewing machine. And I was like, too much for this, too much.
You are truly showing up to G Thanks Just Bought It. And your recommendation is make your own clothes, like get a sewing machine.
But it is not. My recommendation is,
I can't do anything alterations wise. So teach me.
But I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, once you, if you do in fact, like, take your measurements and start thinking about, like, not what size is this garment, but like, what's the shape of my body and what's the shape of this garment? I feel like it's a natural progression to make small alterations to existing clothes, not like make stuff from scratch with like a dressmaker's dummy in your house. I'm not even talking about that. I mean, like, you know, if you notice that like every time you buy a dress, it gaps at a certain place or pulls at a certain place, like if you're a person who owns a sewing machine, you can be like, oh, this is potentially, depending on a couple of other factors, this is a thing I change for myself. And so I whatever, that's like the like mind explosion version of the measuring tape. It's like, maybe not for everyone, but like those who are ready to move on to an advanced course.
I grew up in a house where my mom was like an excellent seamstress, and I have some scars from my own sewing adventures, but I also just like love my relationship with my tailor. That's the other thing for me, where I was like, there is someone that I can pay to do this for me. And it, you know, it's everything has a price. I'm like, that is a price that I'm so happy to pay. But in a pandemic, it's not a thing that I can do. And I'm very excited to figure it out.
Wow.
Well, I will say,
now you both know how to sew. Great. Now I'm behind. Great. Great.
I will just say this, though, that like there is a version of it that's like, I'm cranking out perfectly tailored dresses, like made using patterns and whatever. Like, I have never been that kind of sewer. Like, I learned to sew by like thrifting cheap things, looking at where the seams were, like kind of tearing those apart and redoing. Like, I guess I what I'm trying to say is, I learned everything I know about sewing from like clothes that someone else had already constructed and like kind of messing with them. And I think that like, starting from zero in the like, oh, I think I'm going to make a whole thing from scratch is like basically like, oh yeah, like I'm just going to take this trip and speak fully fluently in this language that I only practice for a week on Duolingo. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like,
I'm going to run a marathon even though I've never run a full mile.
Right. And I think that like my recommendation of the sewing machine and the way I use it and rely on it is much more related to owning the measuring tape, which is to say that like, understanding patterns in how mass produced clothes don't suit your body and trying to like understand what is a small and like low lift alteration that you might not need an expert for. Like, I think hemming pants is a good example, or like, you know, like taking in or letting out a little bit of waist or bust line, depending, like, you know, again, like working with kind of like what someone else has already done. I will also say that like knit things tend to be more forgiving as well, in terms of like, oh, I can make this like I don't know, formerly baggy thing fit me a little better in a certain area. But it's also like, it's something that I think works a lot better if you have a buddy. Or like, one reason why I was like, definitely Amina, get a sewing machine, because like, you can call and FaceTime me and I'll be like, this is how to thread a bobbin, and also like, you know, here are some 101 things. Like, it's really helpful to have a person in your life to pass on this knowledge, as opposed to trying to read a bunch of guides, which sounds like I have no interest at all in like patterns or like whatever, reading instructions on how to do anything.
Yeah, I feel like I just like YouTubed it and then I didn't understand it and I've never touched it again. But now I feel inspired to get it out, because it still brings me the same joy that I predicted I would feel when I got it the first time. And now that I'm hearing that it's possible, and that Amina is spending pandemic time also altering her clothing, makes me feel like I need to catch up. Mm. And that's a great recommendation. And I have measuring tape, Taylor's tape, and I don't use it, but I do have it. So we're halfway there.
Yeah.
It's a great recommendation. This was a wealth of info. As always, I'm so grateful. Is there anything that you feel like you want to give a shout out before we wrap it up? Any product that you were tentative about bringing that you just want to like scream out? Now's your time.
I will say, a thing that I have brought back into my life that is bringing me a lot of joy is a butter keeper. I grew up in a home where we always had one, and then somehow I moved to America and I don't know, like, Americans don't eat butter. I have started eating butter again every day of my life, and the butter keeper is so fun. The butter is soft. The butter is great. Looks great on the counter. And I say this as someone who does not like shit on my counter. yeah. You know, make butter great again. Get a butter keeper.
Oh my God. And my last shout out is also something crafty. Sorry. But it's iron-on letters as like a quickie thing to wear to any protest or public gathering where you want to express your feelings not on cardboard. They are pretty cheap and easy to find online. You don't need any sewing skills. You just iron them on to like an inside-out t-shirt. And I love it as like a quickie, like, hello, I'm going to be in the streets in 30 minutes. Like, how can I have the perfect thing to wear?
Oh, I love that. I love, usually I'm just writing stuff on the back of like Amazon boxes. So this is I feel that will elevate my protest game. Wow, what a good recommendation. I assume I'll need an iron. Okay, I can look into that.
Caroline, I have a really good iron that I'm going to link you to later, but
I can't wait.
Don't buy an iron. There's an iron coming your way. I love my iron.
I can't wait.
You can buy Big Friendship wherever books are sold. We recommend getting it at an independent bookstore of your choice. And Aminatu, thank you so much for joining us. And we will see you guys here next week for another episode. In the meantime, remember, you can follow G Thanks Just Bought It on Instagram at G Thanks Just Bought It Pod. And remember, the closer I get to 10,000, the happier I become. Let's get swipe up, and then we can really get the show on the road, you guys. See you next week.
Thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you. You are the best. Thank you so much for having us.